I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Episode 320 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly sometimes podcast about, a usually not weekly podcast about film and pop culture, where a single die roll decides what movies we have to watch. This one drops on Wednesday, October 24th, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman. Give me the bat, Marge. Give me the bat. Give me the bat. Come on, give me the bat. Give me the bat. Give me the bat, bat.
My name is Casey Lyons, and in the words of one of my real friends, you basic. It's a human insult. It's devastating. You're devastated right now.
My name is Greg LeGros, and eat shit and live, Bill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us saw Halloween 2018, and one of us watched Psycho Santa. And one of us had to listen to a Punishment album. We'll roll for movies next week after we talk about all of that in Film Roulette.
One of us had to listen to a Punishment album?
Yes.
Hey, did you listen to the Good Charlotte album?
No.
No, you didn't.
No. There you go. You missed an episode, so we gave you that Punishment album just for you.
I thought you guys were kidding about that.
Wonderful. So, movies, things we've been watching, and news.
You should listen to that Good Charlotte album.
I probably
You'll really like it.
I mean, honestly, guys, I probably have.
They're pretty good.
It's called Generation RX.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it new?
Yeah, brand new.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, it's got to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. So good. So many good songs, just like they always do.
Yeah.
You know. You know how they do.
In the news, I got some stuff to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, on the always popular old properties are new again topic, that seems to come up very often, I got two separate news articles here about three properties that are getting some kind of potential updates. The first two are movies in the works at Sci-Fi, the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah.
S-Y-F-Y.
Yeah.
So you know it'll be great. Although they did do Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, aren't they, like, I feel like they're trying to start to get a little
and
more.
And they had The Expanse until they couldn't afford it no more.
Channel Zero is Sci-Fi as well, which is, has some rights. So they are currently in talks to land the rights to Critters and Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No. I don't want to be too precious about things, but why would you remake Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yes, and also they're probably going to fuck it up and do computery stuff, and both of those things rely highly on the fact that they are not computer things.
Yeah, I would hope that they would maybe involve the Chiodos if they were to get that property.
Mm-hmm. Critters, go ahead. I mean, I like
still,
Critters and everything.
Listen, Critters is pretty great.
I love
it. Really holds up.
It's not that I
fun.
Don't love Critters. Yeah. It's just that I'm not precious about Critters.
Sure.
Or it. I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to improve it, but they'll do something.
Well, they'll probably not make them puppets, which is like why it works. Same thing with Gremlins. Gremlins wouldn't work if they're not puppets.
Yeah.
I'm more worried just about it being sci-fi, because I feel like they also do a lot of the like Sharknado stuff and the very cheap kind of like CGI heavy shark movie, you know, monster alien movie. It's just like pump them out, you know.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if they're good or not. So, but I would also watch those regardless, even if it looked bad, because I'll be like, I gotta see
if they're good or not. I would definitely check a few minutes out just to be like, knew it, idiots.
Yeah. yeah. I don't know. The Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that's just...
Leave that alone, man.
And it's that's a property where...
Unless you're going to get Good Charlotte to perform the theme song.
Because they, like their name, are good.
Very good, Charlotte.
Yeah, they should be called Very Good Charlotte.
Yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. They're 40 years old and still real sad.
Were they singing about themselves in the last half of that?
Yeah. and then in more hopeful news, in my opinion, one of the directors from an anthology film called Southbound, as well as a producer who has done a bunch of work in the horror genre, she produced some of the VHS movies and the anthology XX, as well as, I mentioned, directing one of the Southbound segments, is looking to do something with Night of the Comet.
Oh, I like that movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of like, it's a good idea.
Yeah. You could take the idea and still make a movie out of it.
And I like that she's attached to it, and I like the idea. I do think that it's the kind of property that needs a female director or producer or something attached to it, because it is kind of female-led. And I just think it's a cool movie and could be interesting to see what they would do with it.
Yeah.
I think there's more there for me to grab onto as like, oh, this could be cool, than the other.
I think it could really go bad too. Like, yeah. I think it could be really boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And generic.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to, from the sounds of this article, they might lean away from the comedy and take it a bit more seriously.
So
a gritty reimagining.
And generic.
What a great idea.
Yeah, that's one thing that I find a lot of movies have too much is a comedy.
Yeah.
This movie was too entertaining.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't seen Night of the Comet, you should revisit it. I believe there is a Blu-ray out of it. It is fucking gorgeous. That movie is shot so well.
It really is nice looking.
So well,
it?
Yeah. With like the red skies that they have. Yeah, it's really, really nice looking movie.
They got some red ass skies up in that
bitch.
They
got some red fucking skies. Yeah. Sailors,
good.
Take warning.
Yeah,
good.
Sailors.
And then speaking of Blu-ray real quick, Peter Jackson, they are finally going to get Dead Alive, Bad Taste, and I believe also...
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, Eddie the Cruisers. No, the puppets.
Peter Jackson's
Meet the Feebles.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Meet the Feebles.
Oh, wow.
Those are going to be three Blu-rays I don't ever bother watching.
Yeah, but it's weird that they've never had... Like, Dead Alive and Bad Taste are not on Blu-ray. That's weird.
That's crazy.
Like,
yeah.
the shit that I watch on Blu-ray is, like, some idiot made a movie in his backyard, and it's shot on video, and now I have an amazing Blu-ray with, like,
and
commentary
some
on
idiot
it.
Bought the Blu-ray.
Yeah. And it's, like, sometimes it's just amazing to me that I get to watch these crazy, amazing prints of these, you know, 4K restorations of some wild movie.
Like,
but that's, like, important.
Those are epic genre films.
Yeah.
Like, I even have a Blu-ray of Maniac Cop.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad movie. Anyway,
that's
a fucking
great
brilliant
fucking
movie. But it's much less known than Bad Taste and
Dead Alive.
Dead
Alive
is huge.
Yeah.
What a great movie.
I think one of the reasons was that he wanted to do them right, so he was always saying no to them, and now he's like, they're doing 4K restoration from the 35mm print. Like, he's going to do it right.
All right.
So that's cool.
Is there anything about Eddie and the Cruisers in there?
No.
What about Eddie and the Cruisers
Then why
two?
Are we doing a podcast?
Eddie Lives.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let
me know.
I scrolled
all the way to the bottom.
All the way to the bottom?
Look again.
Read the comments.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Somebody commented, by the way, I'm remaking Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody
Eddie Lives some more.
There's a... Oh, here we go. There's a comment here by G. LeGros. Eddie and the Cruisers. and then also remake news, LeBron James in talk to produce Friday
Eddie
the 13th.
Eddie and the Cruisers starring LeBron James. Perfect.
This is a news site written by G. LeGros here.
Yeah, it's my fan casting, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the only one who could step in for Michael Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I confuse the two of them all the time.
Friday the 13th, LeBron James in talks to produce the reboot.
Hmm. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, why?
Friday?
Yeah. James is said to be a huge horror fan, and if you recall...
Wait, what?
James, Friday the 13th, Friday not the Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
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 All right, whatever, sure.
He says, Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees is one of my favorites. Still don't understand how he caught people running and he just walked, though. And then he said that he's...
Oh, this sounds like the guy to do this.
Yeah, the news comes on the heels of original Friday the 13th screenwriter prevailing out of a long legal battle in which the court granted summary judgment in favor of Miller against the producers, the video game was also all tied up in here. The original screenwriter was trying to get their rights back, but apparently he is in talks with Vertigo Entertainment to produce the reboot.
Mm. Well, listen,
put him in it.
Not going to work.
And I'll watch it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Make LeBron James be Jason.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely in. He's very tall. But this isn't going to work.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
The last one didn't either.
Yeah.
Those are a time and place thing. Jason's too ridiculous. The backstory is too flimsy. Yeah. It's not. He can't do this.
Yeah.
No, it won't work. It's only charming. It's 80s charming.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even the 90s ones were like,
yeah,
you're not doing it right.
Except for Jason X.
Jason X was dope.
I got time for that one.
Yeah.
Good kills. I like moments of it, but I really feel like it's not.
Well, it is. It's fucking terrible.
Sucks. Yeah. But it's a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah. In space.
Those movies fucking suck.
Yeah, they're all bad.
Yeah.
They're all like mostly bad, but they're fun.
Yeah.
And like that one, the space one, the kills, it's a fun. Couple, like three of the kills are fucking dynamite.
So good.
Yeah, it's true. Guillermo del Toro.
No, oh. It's not like Nightmare where the first one's great.
No.
And the third
you're right.
one's
yeah.
great. It's you're like right. they're all bad. But yeah. they're some are more
I
fun
really,
bad than others.
I really like part two. I think part two gets pretty close to being legitimately good.
Baghead?
Yeah. And it has a great final girl. I just think that one's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Final chapter is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but,
I just watched that
but
again.
Fun.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. I have a lot of fun watching them. And I love the third Tommy Jarvis one.
Yeah.
With the zombie Jason.
Yeah, that's fun.
What a good time. But it's so stupid and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a fucking boring, dumb piece of shit with some really fun stuff stuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the shit.
In the shit.
Did you guys have any news on your mind?
News on my mind? No.
Okay. Did you want to start talking about things that we watched?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I got things.
All right. What do you got?
I got a thing I watched called The Rage Carrie 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The Rage Carrie 2.
Yeah. Listeners will remember last week I came up to bat hard for Rage Carrie 2.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's Rage Carrie 2?
It's Carrie 2.
Yeah. It's a sequel to Carrie.
Yeah.
Called Wait. The Rage.
It's called The Rage, colon,
Carrie
2.
The Rage, colon, Carrie 2.
Yeah.
Is this the one with... the new one?
It's from the 2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's got
then
a,
I remember
it's got a
this
London
one
twin in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Oh, like Jason and Jeremy?
That's right.
Is it the talented one? You decide.
I don't know which is which. Yeah, Mallrats or Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
This is Dazed and Confused. London.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
He plays Carrie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays everyone. It's a one-man show.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I would watch the shit
magical.
Out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. So, yeah. Ooh. Never. I've never seen this. Never.
Yeah.
I was just like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah.
So, Athena and I watched it. She heard the episode, and I was like, yep, all right, let's do it. Let's watch The Rage Carrie 2.
Rage Carrie 2.
Check it out. Got to find out what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm. Thank God my heart was up in my throat there for a second.
Unbelievable how poignant it is.
I agree.
With the
it
the world we live in today.
Me.
A very forward-thinking, a very honest movie about toxic masculinity
and
how women are treated at school and in the world at large.
It goes into
heavy,
like the kids just being so worried about like, oh, how is my assaulting a woman going to affect my job or like my school like applications? That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they also not just like. Showing that all these football guys are brutal, but showing how they're emasculated in their environment, which makes them lash out. And these are the way the coach goes after that one guy.
Yeah,
it makes him pull his pants down in the middle of
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a movie
that sounds hilarious.
Yeah. it's a movie that faded from memory because it's a remake, and I do think that one of the worst things about it is one of those, like I said last week, it's a movie where like the same thing happened again, but we've added some new things to it.
And I don't think they needed to there's some tying into the old movie.
Doesn't
that they
really
didn't
there.
Need to be there at all.
No.
I didn't care. It didn't add to anything.
No.
And nothing about it would have changed anything.
No.
So, but there was some surprising death and like characters that I wasn't expecting to die.
Yeah.
And and it looked good.
Yeah, it has like a fun 90s, really overcranked kind of style to it,
for
it's entertaining.
But it was all right. And so some of the kills are like nice.
Yeah. Oh, when you get to the end, it gets good.
When they turn shit up, there's a couple of like, wonderful, well played.
And I found that the rage of the movie in the finale really got to me. I was really upset in the moment
absolutely.
Of her
I was
becoming
upset a lot
mad.
Of times
yeah.
In this fucking movie.
Yeah.
I thought, and all the performances are pretty good.
Pretty good.
The shithead guys
are
played quite well. Not just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Like they're, you really dislike them.
Totally.
Because it's good performances.
Yeah. I found there's one scene where her performance, there's a scene in like a car that had some pretty gnarly dialogue, and I was like, oof.
Well,
but overall, that she was really good. And
she was good.
And yeah, I feel like it's weird that nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah. it was way, way better than I ever would have expected. I think
totally.
There was a comment in the Slack channel, I think from Zuma.
Yeah, it's like a better than average of that
era. Yeah, I think
era.
He put it somewhere in the I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
I think I liked this way more than I Know What You Did Last Summer. But that's because I hate I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that movie sucks. So stupid.
Yeah, I have a lot of time for this era of crappy horror movies, but this is definitely better than...
Yeah, and you just have to give it credit for being a great bit of social commentary.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That just completely fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, and probably because it was like nobody was talking about... It was too this is going on right now and nobody's talking about it, and here's a movie talking about it,
just
forget.
No one was talking about it. People were like, yep, this is what goes on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I hope people check it out. It's worth checking out.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Rage Carry 2.
Yeah.
Rage Carry 2.
Casey.
What?
You've been, you weren't here last week. What did you check in with?
Well, I have precious little time to watch things, but I did watch a couple things. I've been catching up on things like The Good Place and...
I haven't started the new one.
No,
season 2 of Big Mouth, which is a
nice.
Lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did watch something that I wanted to talk about that I hope at least one of you has seen. Did either of you watch Hold the Dark?
No, I did not yet.
Oh, I heard people didn't like it, so I
didn't
bother. Yeah,
a lot of people didn't like it, which is crazy because it's the best movie of the year.
Oh, nice. Oh, good.
Really?
It's
the fucking best.
Oh. Yeah. I just have been so, not in the mood for... I know it's going to be, a commitment, and I really want to sit down and just dig it, and I've just been putting on a lot of things lately that I have just let's put on a fun horror movie.
I will say I get some people's problems with it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I get why some people would have problems with it. I myself, I'm so super deep into Jeremy Saulnier's whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really measured and then hyper-violent.
Yeah.
And it says... It says a lot of stuff very plainly, but I think in saying things very plainly, a lot of people are like, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, watch the movie. Just watch the things that are happening and then put those things together. But they say to really understand it, you need to have seen to have read the book. And I didn't read the book, but I feel like I really got a lot out of it. Maybe I'm missing the point.
I also heard some people saying that like the book is actually not very good. Like I heard some, there was a lot of, it seemed also divisive as a book, and then now that it's a movie, it still seems very divisive.
Yeah, quite possibly. I could definitely see that. But I mean, if you just, yeah, man, fucking everything about it. It's fucking, it's beautiful. Mm. It's crazy violent. Mm. It's like, it will just put you right on edge.
Yeah.
For the entire running time.
All right. Check that out then.
Yeah. It blew me away.
Yeah. I got to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Hmm. Mm.
Hold the Dark. That's on Netflix.
Hold it. It. Sure is.
Yeah.
Dan.
Yep.
What'd you watch?
I watched some stuff. Oh man. Okay.
What'd you watch, Dan?
So really quickly to tie in with what we'll talk about later, Halloween. Mm-hmm. I went and revisited a Halloween movie that is probably the one that I had watched the longest ago last. So probably like sometime in the 2000s, late 2010s maybe.
One of the Rob Zombie ones?
No. Halloween 3.
Oh, Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch. Mm. So the last time I watched Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But the sort of like right now in the past maybe 5 years, there's been a bigger resurgence of love for that movie.
Yeah.
So when I watched it, it was still very much like that weird one that no one talks about and some people really like and some people don't. And so I watched it and it was really late and I was like, oh yeah, that's a cool movie. Moving on.
Yeah.
And when I revisited it, this past week, it really, for me lands as my favorite sequel of the Halloween series.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Tom Atkins. How can
easy,
you go wrong, man?
Easy. It is so funny that the movie that for so long people were like, what's the deal? No Michael Myers. Is of all the sequels, it's the one that has the most oddly similar feeling of the sequels. Like it has that weird kind of like foreboding atmosphere. It's very like off-putting and you know something's gonna go wrong for the first stretch and it's really well shot. It just has this weird sort of like aesthetic and atmospheric like link to the first movie, despite being a movie that's completely about something like sciencey, you know, laser beams, creatures coming out of people's heads and stuff. Like, it's so out there in comparison, but it's the one that for me feels the most of the first. It feels the most birthed of that kind of horror filmmaking.
And what a great poster.
And it's great. I loved it so much. Halloween 3 is amazing. I know a lot of people are saying that, but it's so good.
No, well, it should be noted, and a lot of people haven't seen it. Yeah. It's on our list of
it's great
stuff to watch this October, Athena and I. So.
I just can't, it's one of those things, like, I can't imagine people, I just couldn't get past the fact that it wasn't a Michael Myers movie because, like, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So watch Halloween 3. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, man. I will.
The gore in it is amazing.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else for you, Greg?
I watched an Argentinian horror movie called Terrified.
Oh, I almost watched that last night.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not the thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That's, people have been talking about that. It's on Shudder now.
Yeah.
And I was going to watch it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I think I didn't watch it because it's subtitled and Emma didn't want to watch something subtitled. So I was like, okay, we'll watch something else.
Yeah. I did watch it. It is subtitled.
Yeah.
Good buzz. It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's very scary.
It's very creepy.
Holy shit.
There's a lot of, like, fucked up stuff in it. Really fucked up.
The poster's pretty fucked
up. But it's super fun and it has like a serious pace too. Yeah. Like, don't fuck around. And it has kind of like a, I mean, it's a very European vibe to it, but in the same way, it has like just a confidence about its subject matter, the way that like 80s deep genre movies did, where it's just like, this is it. And the characters in the movie are like, yeah, this is it. I strongly recommend it. The performances are great. The characters are really good and interesting. It looks good.
Nice.
There's a variety of scares in it, not just jump scares. There's a lot of like in the background stuff and wonderful
nice.
Movie.
Nice.
I was so happy.
The poster is definitely a Tool album cover.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah, I don't really want to say too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that much about it at all. There's a horrific thing that start happening in this neighborhood.
Okay.
So, you know, people look into it. yeah.
That's enough for me.
It's got like the opening, I was like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
And then it just holds that pace and ups and it, you know, it tops itself continuously. Sweet. Pretty remarkable little horror movie.
Awesome.
I think it'll get more and more of a reputation as time goes on.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
Terrified.
Check it out. Terrified. It's okay. On Shudder.
Yeah.
I've gotten Shudder and gotten rid of Shudder a couple of
times. Me too.
My third time getting Shudder. It's much cheaper now.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
I feel like there's more stuff now too.
And there's way more stuff. I'm like, all right, Shudder. Yeah. I think we're friends now. And we're
They do have most of the Joe Bob marathon stuff where he does like the interstitials between the movies. So that stuff's pretty fun.
Nice.
I got rid of Shudder a bunch of times too. And there was once where like every time I went to say goodbye, they would be like, are you sure? Here's another free month. Come on. Yeah. I was able to get like a bunch of free months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh, man.
I kept on going back because they're really good about the, you're starting up every free month.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
you already started up before, but we don't care.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Casey?
What?
What else have you been watching?
Well, the one thing that's been taking up most of our time is The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. A Netflix original by
Netflix original.
Mike mm-hmm. F.
Mikey Flans.
Mikey Flans.
The Flansman.
Of Oculus and Hush.
That's not very good.
And more.
Of a lot of movies that I fucking love. So this guy goes ahead and makes The Haunting of Hill House.
It's a kind of a readaptation of the book by Shirley Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A bit of a restructure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of kind of a whole overhaul of
the book. A real reimagining.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think we're only actually on like episode 4 or 5
or
something.
Yeah. I'm only 4.
I've seen 2.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
I fucking love it. I think it's so good and so genuinely scary all the time.
I think it's really well performed. I like how it looks. I'm at episode 2. I've heard lots of talk like 3 is kind of
Three's
the one
really
that
really
good. Snags
I like
everybody.
Three a lot.
And I think it's really good. I love seeing Henry Thomas and stuff. That's great. I love seeing Carlo Gugino and stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. And everyone else is really good, too.
Yeah. I honestly found so far that the scares, apart from maybe a couple things in episode 3, the scares are the things that, for me, are the least interesting. I'm more just involved in the like family drama and stuff. And
I really like the family drama as it relates to the ghosty stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's really cool because it is really about the family drama.
Yeah. There's been a couple pretty strong scares.
But that's the thing. So when those scares come, and the thing is, I don't find the strongest connection with the family because I find the acting is what it needs to be, but I don't think it's like I don't really find myself rooting for anyone.
No.
I'm really enjoying the way the family interacts with each other and all the stuff that happens. So when those scares come, it's just like, and there are some imagery.
I was a big fan of in episode 3, and I won't say too much about it when the elevator and the basement come into play. Waiter and the basement come into play.
That was really a fun scene.
Yeah.
Is it episode 2 where the very end of it is just like a very simple thing that happens, and it just like I get when watching this show, I get like literal physical shivers going up and down, which I don't really get with anything else. I'm also, again, and I say this all the time, I'm watching it with Myos, which is...
Yeah, and I was going to say, because you've mentioned on the show a bunch of times,
that she's
very reactive.
It's so fucking wonderful. And she gets so stressed out by it. And she watches it like through her fingers and like she gets so stressed.
That's
I mean,
so good.
It's so fucking wonderful. And it's infectious. So
yeah.
That's how I watch Peppa Pig.
Well, to be fair, Peppa Pig is terrifying. I just have a real fun time watching that.
Nice.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid.
I'm going to finish it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I took a bit of a break because there was like it was getting just like too much to do in like multiples in a row, and so we need to get back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Haunting of Hill House. Mm-hmm. Listeners, what do you think? Let us know. I watched something that was a classic Dan pick. Some weird fucked up shit that my friend recommended. Carlo recommended I watch this, and I'm very happy I did. And if you are a fan of weird horror movies, mm-hmm. Funny, crazy, you know, what the fuck movies, you gotta see from 1989, Fatal Exposure, directed by Peter Begood. And that when I reviewed it, I wanted to be Peter be good, movie be bad. But then I really liked the movie. So I could have said movie be good, but so this movie is so good. It's so funny. I think Greg would really have a kick out of this movie. So
I definitely recognize.
What's it called again? Tell me that
Fatal
name.
Fatal Exposure.
Fatal.
I absolutely recognize the cover.
That's the cover.
Yeah.
Guy and a girl and a skull taking a picture. Let's see here. So I would describe
it. I've seen this box before.
Yeah.
I never would have. Yeah.
This movie's so funny, so wild, so bonkers. It's about this guy whose name is Jack T. Rippington. And you guessed it.
Why?
He's a descendant of Jack the Ripper.
Rippington?
Yeah, why did his name change?
I don't know. And
because if you want to get away from the whole Ripper last name, which isn't his last name.
Rippington.
He's the Ripper, not...
Yeah, yeah.
His name is... He's not Jack Ripper.
T. Ripper.
Jack Tripper. Oh, is that what that show was about?
Oh my God, it all makes sense now.
Oh man. So
it's
so good.
Does this movie think that Jack?
I think so.
Jack
I don't
the
know.
Ripper's name is Jack Ripper.
It's the Rippington.
His middle name is the
Rippington.
Jack the Ripper. What's it called? Fatal Exposure?
Fatal Exposure. So the gist of the movie is there's this guy, his grandfather was Jack the Ripper, and he's trying to get a woman so that he can have a baby and continue on the Rippington name.
Right. And well, what if his name is Jack Rippington?
I don't know.
He's Jack Rippington, and then the press all names, like, he starts killing
people.
He's the
Ripper.
And the press calls him Jack the Ripper. If you're Jack Rippington and you're the Ripper, you'd be like, fuck, that's too close. Yeah. I gotta back off on this shit. Yeah.
How did they know?
Crazy. How do they know?
Yeah. Why aren't they arresting me? They clearly know.
Yeah. Mr. Rippington, have you been ripping up ladies? No. So he goes around asking women three questions.
It's like if you were a murderer and they pressed up to Greg the Grow.
Yeah.
First of all, that doesn't make any sense.
No, they got me. All right.
Anyway,
I'll go back to my normal job.
He's a photographer.
Not murdering people.
The funny thing about it is he's trying to get a woman and he's like asking them these weird questions about like, how do you feel about blood? And if they're like, ew, yuck, he kills them.
What if they're like, delicious.
Then he tries to have a baby with them.
Great.
You'll see if you watch the movie.
Why is it called Fatal Exposure?
Because he's a photographer.
Kill people with photography?
Look at the thing.
Sort of.
Yeah, I know. There's a skull inside of a
skull
camera.
In his camera.
I'll tell you this.
But that doesn't have...
I'll tell you. Here's the first murder in the movie is a guy and a girl come over and he's going to do some photos for them and the girl goes to get changed and he has the guy put his head in those things that like lock down on you that you put your wrist and head through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the guy's like, whoa, this is a weird prop for a photo, but I'll put my head in it. And then Jack Rippington locks it and then chops his head off.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's such a funny scene. But he is doing these murders so that he can drink their blood as well, because the blood gives him the power to be a man, apparently, according to his grandfather.
Yeah.
And there's one scene where he chugs a glass of blood and then burps like he just downed a Coors Light or something. He's like, yeah.
Goes down smooth.
Yeah.
You know what I like is the tagline here, because it's Jack the Ripper is at it
again.
now it's his great-grandson's turn.
Yeah.
So
he's not
his,
at it again.
He's not. His great-grandson's at it.
He's probably dead.
For the first time.
Oh, yeah. Rippington up to his old tricks. Oh,
fucking hell.
It's
it's like if my son does something, I go, there I go again.
Casey's up to it again.
Here I go.
Up to Casey's old tricks.
Classic Casey.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dad, I got this job. Yeah. Classic Casey.
Yeah.
I've done it again.
A on your report card. That's just so like me.
I can't believe I got an A on your report card.
The last thing I'll say about the movie
stay
is...
stay out of my blood.
Yeah. I could tell that you filled this blood up with water to get back to the line I put on it. Not an idiot.
I'm never going away for the weekend again.
Yeah. So the last thing that's amazing about this movie is he talks to the camera.
Oh my god, I love this fucking movie.
He pulls a cuffs. He pulls a Ferris Bueller and he's like, so anyway, my great grandpa says, like, you gotta be a man and drink blood. So it's amazing.
Is he trying to relate to the audience?
He doesn't.
You know how it is.
Yeah, are we supposed to be on board with this guy?
No, because he's like gross, sexist piece of shit murdering women. But it's all, I don't know, it's so funny and ridiculous. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I loved it so much. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sold.
Fatal Exposure.
Sold.
It's so good. What else?
What else? I had a rewatch for me that I haven't seen since, I think, high school. Maybe college. But discovered that Athena had never seen it, so we decided to have a little go at it.
Yeah.
Because it's on Shudder, too, and there it is. And what are you going to do when it pops up and you're like, wait, you haven't seen this? Well,
might
it's time
as
to
well.
Watch Sleepaway Camp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. I watched that recently as well.
Yeah. It's got a famous ending, just in case you haven't seen it, because she hadn't and had no idea any of the twist stuff. So I was kind of playing dumb while she was asking me questions while we were watching it.
It's got a... It has an amazing ending that... is not okay today, but
Well, I mean, to the film's credit, I think anyway, it doesn't necessarily vilify any type of thing.
Yeah, they're
I'm being very vague. Anyway. I think it holds up
I think
pretty
everybody
well.
Everybody knows.
Does everybody know? I don't know.
Everybody's seen that picture.
If you haven't, we might as well keep it a secret.
Sure.
Because it is a movie that
if you do
haven't.
Know, then you know what I'm talking about, and that's fine. But I thought it held up pretty good. Like, it looks pretty good still.
Yeah.
The kills are great. the overprotective cousin is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That kid's wicked.
Yeah.
It's great, but there's peculiar acting and weird casting, like the bitchy girl is so bizarre.
Yeah.
And I did like that every time when the mean girls are being mean and the guys were like giving them the gears, they weren't using like typical 80s horror movie like you bitch, you slut or something like that. They're like, one girl is being mean, and he was like, Mary, you're such a scumbag.
Yeah.
And then another girl.
That is a great thing to call somebody.
Yeah.
Totally. And then another girl was being mean to the girl, and this guy walks by, and he's like, you're such a peckerhead.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking A, man. This movie's got peckerheads and scumbags in it. I'm all for it.
Get out of here,
this
you.
This fucking thing is wall-to-wall peckerheads and scumbags.
Why you gotta be such a dillweed?
Yeah.
Dillweed
like,
is a
right.
fucking great one.
So, it was fun.
It's really good to watch and be like, oh, this is where they got everything for Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah.
They watched a lot of this one.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Casey?
What?
What else? Anything?
No.
Okay.
Whoa.
I will say this. I did... try to watch Solo again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I
didn't
like
go well.
I tried. And I'll probably try again.
Yeah.
But I'm having a tough time with it. I really don't like it.
Wait, what are we talking about? Sorry.
Solo.
Oh.
Mario Van Peebles?
I tried to watch it again.
Yeah.
I liked it when I saw it in the theater because I was really trying hard. But
you did? I felt like you didn't.
I overall was like... I don't like a lot of things about it, but I like the parts that I liked.
Yeah.
And the parts that I liked before, I didn't like now.
Yeah. Well, because it's a shitty movie. It's a boring shit movie with dumb things that happen.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is like, you already know what happens.
Yeah.
And then you have to watch an actor speak Wookiee.
Yeah.
Oh, holy fuck, is that horrible?
It's like
nobody can. That's not even that kid's fault. De Niro couldn't do it. Nobody. Yeah. That's not a thing.
It's like it's like if an asshole made a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Cuz it just ruins things.
Yeah.
The Kessel Run. Hey, well, we're going to explain the Kessel Run. You know how parsecs is everything about it. I actually had to turn it off. I was
piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fucked up. Now they're like pumping the brakes and everything. They're like, "Oh. Ooh."
Oh, that's another thing that I did want to talk about in movie news is The Mandalorian.
Oh yeah, that TV show.
Holy shit, that is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and they're hoping now they're focusing everything at that.
Yeah.
Like this we want to generate interest in again, because get away from the old stuff. Like I still would like an Obi-Wan movie with Ewan McGregor.
I don't think
it'll ever happen. Yeah. But that's fine. But all the old characters, like, this, we're done now.
Yeah.
Just let it go, man.
Well, that's what we're doing. The next movie is going to be, you know, the end of the Skywalker. Skywalker? Is that his name? Skywalker?
Skywalker?
The Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to still be left with the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to slide back into it.
Yeah.
With an episodic thing that's going to cost $10 million an episode.
Oh, my God.
So good. And, like, some of the directors are fucking amazing. They've got the guy who does Star Wars, I want to say Rebels or Clone Wars, one of those shows that everybody likes.
Yeah.
They got him doing a bunch. They've got Jon Favreau, obviously, doing a bunch. Taika Waititi is going to come in and do a couple.
Oh, wow.
So that's fucking
crazy. Exciting.
Yeah,
that's Taika Waititi handling Star Wars.
Very cool.
Yes,
just
please.
A wonderful idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
nice.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this thing is so good.
Yeah, Star Wars.
And, it's going to be the whole reason I subscribe to fucking Disney Netflix, which is going to be a thing next year. And it's going to be the only way you can see it, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's fine.
Are they're not going to be like Hulu dirtbags and you can't see it in Canada, right?
Probably.
Quite possible.
Yeah, probably.
Sounds like it. It's not. Yeah. Hulu aren't the
No,
the,
I know.
The
I know.
Bags. Canada is the dirtbag.
Yeah, right. Canadian content. But if you're Hulu, you're probably aware of this. Like, why isn't no one in Canada checking us out? What's going on? I'm sure they know.
It's not like they don't know. I wonder why no one in Canada watches us.
You think it's weird?
Well,
we're doing
it's
really
mystery.
Well everywhere else. It's like, what if we just made a version of? Why don't we add some?
Yeah.
There are Canadian shows you could fill it out with.
Yeah.
Put a ton of fucking Kids in the Hall and Codco and Danger Bay on there.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Hey, I'd watch
why
some Danger
that take
Bay.
Why did such a hard left turn?
I'm not going to not watch some
it,
Danger
why
Bay.
Why don't you put Beachcombers on it?
I would watch those shows.
I would
too. I'm thinking
too.
About starting a Beachcombers podcast.
I bet people would watch the fuck out of that. If you could just binge watch Beachcombers and Danger Bay and shit, there are lots of people who would watch that.
It's not a bad idea. Canadian television.
Even if I didn't.
Little as Hobo.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Even if I didn't watch the whole episode, I would at least put on the intro to Danger Bay a couple times a week.
Yeah.
So good.
Whenever I'm watching Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
With my daughter. When I'm not.
All right.
Not by myself. Like, it's on, and because the first couple of times we were watching it, when I wasn't super familiar with it yet, the town that this all takes place in, Paw Patrol, is called Adventure Bay.
Oh.
But the way they sing the song, if you're not totally
sounds
paying
like
attention,
Danger Bay.
Like, you know, whenever there's down in. It says down in. Like, down at Adventure. Like, it says really quick, so I swear to God, he said Danger Bay. I'm like,
does this show take place at Danger Bay? Is this what happened there? Dogs are super intelligent now? Was that addressed in the original show? I don't remember.
Are we building a Danger Bay cinematic universe?
Yeah. You didn't see the finale? The finale of Danger Bay where everyone turned into dogs.
Paw Patrol's Canadian made. You never know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nice.
Nice.
Any other stuff before Film Roulette?
No.
No?
That's it.
No.
Okay. Then let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Halloween 2018, aka H40 years later.
Really? Is that what it's also known as?
Yeah, some people have said it.
Like you, now.
I said it. And the low roller has to see something bad like Psycho Santa, but the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We will review those two movies, talk about an album, and then roll all over again. This week, Halloween, directed by David Gordon Green, 2018. Laurie Strode comes to her final confrontation with Michael Myers, the masked
Halloween,
figure.
Halloween, David Gordon Green, 2018.
Who has haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago. This is sitting at 3.5 out of 5, average rating on Letterboxd. Produced in part by Blumhouse. John Carpenter produced it. Jamie Lee Curtis is back, of course. Judy Greer is here. Halloween 2018, Judy Greer is here.
Is here.
Nick Castle, The Shape, makes an appearance.
An asshole.
Which is fun. Lots of stuff to talk about here. Hotly anticipated, of course. Also, Malik Akkad produced it as well, and it's dedicated to his father, who was the producer on the original and all of the sequels.
Yep.
So.
And this is a direct sequel to the first movie, ignoring all the other sequels.
Yes. it kind of makes an interesting sort of triple feature with H20 years later. Halloween 20, because there is a bit of stuff that I feel like, I don't know, I can't remember if that movie addresses the sibling thing or not, or if it throws that out as well.
I don't remember, but that's the one where she's changed her name, and she's like works at a school or something, and...
Yeah.
I've seen
people put these three movies up to say, like, you could follow the arc through those movies where, like, in that movie, she's trying to get away from it, and now she's totally in the new one.
Yeah.
You know, bordered herself off from life.
Right.
so Danny McBride co-wrote and produced, I believe, with David Gordon Green. So you'll remember David Gordon Green from kind of starting his career as an indie director with movies like George Washington and All the Real Girls before kind of getting caught up in the Apatow universe with stuff like Pineapple Express and Your Highness, and sort of has recently made his way back to more kind of indie stuff with Prince Avalanche and some other movies. So has had an interesting career. It was always weird when, like, he was just making, like, stoner comedies because, like, his early movies are, like, legit indie kind of dramas.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was very excited and interested to see what happens here.
Yeah.
And I felt like when it was announced, it was an exciting announcement that, like, okay, there might be, like, a director with some substance going on here. And I was kind of like, oh, Danny McBride, that'll be... I was very interested in his take.
Sure.
I don't know why. I was just like, okay, let's see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Me too.
I don't know. How do you want to get into this? Because it's such a big thing. Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's very positioned as, like, this is it.
Yeah.
With the exception of a thing in the credits that has been talked about a little bit.
All right. Well, so with this being a direct sequel to the first one, I think that's a good move too, because honestly, other than Season of the Witch, all the sequels suck. I like two. It's fun.
I always felt like it got overrated just because it wasn't as bad as what came next.
Yeah. But and, like four it looks and five good, but... are fucking horrible. H2O, I know some people are kind
I'm not
of,
a fan. It's okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty flat.
Yeah, it's not great.
The Rob Zombie ones are dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because Rob Zombie sucks at everything.
So, like, there aren't... so toss it out. And I think this is a fine thing to do. Why do we have to accept everything as canon? Like, if you're if Michael Myers is your favorite movie killer, are you like, but 4 and 5 matter? They're important. Do you care about those fucking characters? Do you need to see them again? Is that really a story that is important to you? It doesn't fucking matter. It's only because of the first one. So I think you should be allowed to do this with other franchises.
I do think there are some. I have seen some people on the internet saying, like, I kind of liked that they were made to be siblings and there was a connection. And he had to keep coming back to Haddonfield to, like, kill family members. And, like, sure, but I think ultimately it didn't go anywhere.
No.
If they had taken that somewhere, maybe.
No,
but
there's no comment with it. There doesn't mean anything. It's just like, no.
What about their siblings?
So who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. So that being said, then, you know, there's a lot of hype around this.
Yeah.
And it is Michael Myers. And there's a lot of people like, this is going to be the I'm like, it's not going to change horror movies or be anything as impactful as the first Halloween movie was.
Yeah.
But I think it is super successful because they made a really good, fun, entertaining slasher movie, which people don't make anymore, particularly not well.
Yeah.
And I think their element there, it's shot well, it looks good, there's some great scenes, there's some great kills, and I think the Danny McBride thing in there made all of the...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The cannon fodder, interesting, because there's a lot of, like, quippy dialogue.
Yeah.
It's fun.
There's definitely some
all
more
all the characters are kind of
humor.
Likeable or interesting, and you're kind of like, when they die, you're like, they're all right. You know? So I thought it worked. It's like, it's not the best movie in the world. It's the best Halloween sequel, no question.
Yeah.
I think.
And, I like three more.
You like three more? Yeah. Well, I mean of the Michael Myers ones. I'll watch three again and see what I think about that. But of the Michael Myers story, this is the best sequel we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks good. I liked the brutality of a lot of
the scenes. There was some good stuff. Gnarly.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is fucking awesome.
She's really good.
There's some great stuff at the end that I was a huge fan of.
Yeah.
There was great stuff throughout. I thought there was a lot of really strong scenes. I saw it in the theater. Had a great time.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of fun. You know what was cool, too, is because slasher movies like this aren't really a fucking thing anymore, or definitely not. Like, it's just there's shit.
Different kind of
so
horror
this,
movies
and this
now.
This follows kind of like, you know, and there's a couple of good ones, and I was listening to people gasp.
Yeah.
And it was a packed theater, and there's a lot of like, oh, and then after a kill, like, oh my God. And I was listening to like all these, and it was all like a lot younger than Athena and I. And I was like, oh, cool. These people are experiencing this kind of thing in the theater for the first time, and they're actually like jarred by it, because it is jarring.
Yeah,
this mask guy,
there's one or two pretty gnarly aftermath shots.
Yeah
For sure.
I thought it was good. It'll twist things on some familiar tropes of the series or in slasher movies in general.
There was a twist in here that I was particularly like, no thank you. I was like, no. Don't do that. And then they didn't do that, and I was like, good, but then why did you do that?
Well, you know.
Yeah. I thought this was okay. I liked it enough, but I found it I left a little disappointed, and I found it more disappointing, because I agree that, like, for what it is, it's a fun slasher, and it's not bad. at all. Yeah. It's pretty solid. But I kind of was left disappointed a little bit with the messiness of it. I kind of felt like there was a lot of missed opportunity. I really liked where it ends.
Yeah.
With the three generations of the Strodes, and they're working together, and there's like a guy that they are kind of working together to take down, and it sort of is playing a little bit with like threads of like grief and, you know, being a survivor of something horrific and trauma affects
a family line.
Yeah, I just wanted more of that. I felt like it never really explicitly gets into that, and what it gets into elsewhere around that stuff, I was just like, hey, get back to that throughout, you know, like the stuff with the new Loomis and what goes on there. And some of that, I was just kind of like, it just, it felt like a movie that had been like worked on a lot. Like there's a lot like, okay, like I don't know what the writing process was for this movie or what the script looked like at first, but it kind of felt like I could see the threads of like a script that would tie them together. And I was like, but you're not putting them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really had a lot of fun with the finale. I felt like the finale and where it ends really nailed the landing. And I just felt like getting there was a little rough, but there was definitely moments I liked. Yeah. And Jamie Lee Curtis is so good. You can really tell that she's interested again and she's putting in a really good performance. And there's good scenes, like the stuff with them at the dinner when she comes in is really good. I just wanted more. Like, I just kept thinking, like, give me more of this. Like,
well, you know, listen, I think they did the best they can because there's stuff that there is in those scenes that you can think about. Yeah. And it does give an extra texture to this movie. But they still have to make a slasher movie about a guy running around
killing people
in a William Shatner mask, stabbing people in Halloween. Like, it's still like, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to tick a lot of boxes. And I think they did a good job of at least getting close to most of them.
Yeah.
Or offering up enough of a little bit of something to think about in a couple of scenes and not just have it be, you know, a dumb slash fest, you know, like that the Friday the 13th from 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just nothing characters with nothing happening.
Totally.
While nothing goes on. So, I thought, and again, I think it's of the Michael Myers Halloween movies, I think it's the best sequel.
I think that's fair. I'm trying to think. I know I hated 5, but I'm trying to think if I even enjoyed 4 at all. I can't remember. Yet.
Boring.
Yeah.
Dumb.
and I kind of hope that this is it. There is some kind of
The fact that there were like good frights and they made him intimidating again was is an enormous feat. We are too familiar with this character.
Yeah.
Seen it too many times. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You can't.
You're
just
done.
Let it go. There's so much, like, think of something else.
Yeah. Totally. You know? We don't need another one.
No.
Just end it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Leave it alone now.
Yeah.
We ended on a high note. No, there's it's never getting better than this.
No.
It's the whole lot worse.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, Halloween 2018 by David Gordon Green.
Good.
I definitely recommend seeing it in theaters, especially for that like crowd reaction.
Oh, yeah.
On some of those things. Definitely. So then Casey didn't get to go to the theater and have a fun.
It was great. Sorry, with the crowd reaction stuff. You know, it's in the trailer. That scene when he comes to the stall.
Yes.
And the hand comes over and he drops all the teeth.
Yeah.
In front of her. Somebody sitting near me, I guess, hadn't seen that trailer. Because when that happened, I heard this girl go, "What the fuck?"
That's good.
Oh, that's fun.
So
I felt like
that's a good time.
The trailers showed so much. I felt like a lot of that stuff, I wished I hadn't watched those trailers.
Oh, sure.
But like The Closet, and I was just like, I wish I didn't know this was coming.
Why would you fucking have that in your trailer?
That's it got me excited for the movie, but then when I saw it in the movie, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen here. Although I really enjoyed that whole sequence.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, anyway.
The kid was good in that sequence.
Yeah, the kid's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like the cast. I thought the cast was good, particularly that babysitter and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, Casey. Almost didn't see it, but got to see it. Psycho Santa.
Thank
God.
Directed by Peter Keir from 2003.
Yeah,
when en route to a holiday gathering, young Ron teases his wife about the legend of a backwoods Santa with an axe to grind. However, when the legend comes to life, the Christmas bash turns into a holiday bloodbath.
I liked the IMDb synopsis better, which is a synopsis not known at this time. This movie is 15 years old.
This movie on Letterboxd has been reviewed by exactly three people, so it does not have an average rating. And has been logged by 42 people. So,
All right.
All right. Well,
Casey's 43.
Yeah, I'm about to log it.
What do you have to say about Psycho Santa?
I had a lot of fun watching this movie. What you got to understand about this movie is that it's softcore porn.
It's funny because when I looked up that I tried to download it for you, and one of the screen grabs from it was just like a full frontal shower scene. I was like, whoa, that's everything that
and
you
don't
can
think
see.
That's the only shower scene.
So you had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. Sorry. Let me elaborate. I had a lot of fun with my dick watching this movie.
Not since you accidentally downloaded porn when trying to get Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Yeah, I got a lot of
fun. Trying to
excuse.
Download some art house indie. Getting some porn.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I just always remember
where that is.
I always remember because you were like, I downloaded that movie, and then when I got it, I was like, this is weird. It's broken up into different scenes. The files are all different scenes, but I'll watch it, I guess.
And watch it.
I did.
Well, okay, so I may actually be overstating it. Only parts of this movie are softcore.
Just the parts with the sex and
bingo.
Listen, whenever they weren't having sex, it wasn't pornography.
No, there was no. Okay, so there's a couple of showers. This movie is interesting. Because it was written by a moron.
But a moron who's good at giving me a boner.
Hey, I've dated more than one of those. It's for a movie that is shot on video cam.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly competently shot.
Oh, nice.
Like I feel like if you gave this guy a real camera, like there's a couple of shots that are composed like a real shot would be. And there's some like over the shoulder stuff, and there's some like coverage of both people and everything. Like it really feels like you're like,
it's funny when that is enough sometimes.
well, because everything else in this movie is fucking atrocious. And makes zero fucking sense.
Yeah.
So it starts with this guy, and he's telling her, oh, did you hear about this Santa? Let me tell you about him.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, real psycho, this Santa.
Anyway, I got this dick here.
You ever seen one of these?
I've been really good this year.
Yeah. I'm going to put it in your sock. They're going to this holiday party that he doesn't want to go to.
Okay.
And so they're in the car going to this thing. He's like, you ever hear about the Santa? Let me tell you the story. And then he starts telling her this story. But it's not a story. The story is basically, and then he killed these one girls. then he killed this other guy. Then he killed this a little boy and his mom. Then he killed this other one guy.
So it was written by an 8-year-old.
But then all of a sudden that guy's not telling the story anymore.
What?
It's so hard to tell the story of this because again, it's not really a story. This guy is like a crazy killer guy, and he was sent to this insane asylum that burned down because I guess he burned it down or something, and now he's all burnt and scarred. You never see his face; you see this much of his eye.
Okay,
and there's some marshmallow around his eye.
Okay, and this isn't the Santa story. He just starts talking with this other guy?
No, the other guy is the Santa.
Okay.
The guy, the insane asylum guy is the Santa.
Okay.
And the Santa guy escapes the insane asylum and then goes around killing all these people.
Okay.
And that's the whole story.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, we're in the middle of, like, where a policeman is interrogating this guy because, these two robbers break into this house, and this lady's about to take a shower. And she takes off, like... There are so many shots that just go, yeah, boobs, and just linger upon those boobs for a while. And then let's take a trip downtown to Vagina Town. and then just let's just check out a vagina for a while.
Oh. Wow.
So this lady's taking a bath. About to take a bath, and these guys are robbing her. And then one of the guys just goes over and drowns her in the tub.
What?
Why? Don't know. They were there to rob the place, and he's like, fucking kill this lady.
Okay.
And then he does. But then they find a door that's locked, and they're like, why is this door locked? And then they unlock the door, and it's because...
Psycho Santa's in
there?
There's
a Santa in there.
Why was he in there? Did she own him?
Was he having a shower too?
Trying to shower in here. The door was locked.
And you should have seen this Santa's vagina. he was the son of the hot lady who gets drowned in the tub.
Okay.
And this older man who's the dad. And the dad is being interrogated down at the police station.
Wait, the Santa's the son?
Yeah.
How old is this Santa?
No idea.
What?
I have no idea. That is not explained, and you will never see.
Big fat fella? Or is he skinny Santa? Is he teenage Santa?
He's like, you know how sometimes you see a little bit of fabric every once in a while?
What?
What? Have you guys never seen a little bit of fabric once in a while?
But what does that mean?
What world am I living in? No, like, you know how when somebody walks by you only and you only see part of their arm or something like that?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I can't believe you guys have never experienced.
What the fuck does this have to do with anything? How old is the Santa? You know when you see an arm? What the fuck? Yes, I've seen arms and fabric. So
okay,
you only...
then you've seen this Santa, Dan.
So are you saying that they only show little bits of him?
You just see him walk by every once in a while, and then sometimes you see his hand with a sword in it or something.
Okay. What kind of fabric?
Red Santa fabric.
Okay, cool.
So you never actually see him or anything. You just see little Santa elements. And the kills are just not kills at all. But it's an hour and 20 minutes, and they pad this thing out.
Yeah.
There's a lady who, her son, like a boy, luckily they have no idea how to actually film anything. So.
Okay.
All you see is a little boy, and then you see a thing covered in blood, and you're like, I guess that kid's dead.
Yeah.
And then he stabs the mom, but the mom's not dead. And then she spends literally about 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, crawling across the floor to the phone. And
this sounds riveting.
She finally gets to the phone, and then she pulls it to her. This is kind of slapsticky. She pulls the phone to her and then accidentally pulls the cord out of the...
Nice.
Out of the wall.
As you do.
So then she spends the next 4 minutes crawling to the wall to plug the phone back in. And she plugs the phone back in and then dies.
That sounds amazing.
It's so funny. I'm like, I hate this movie and I love it too. And then all of a sudden this guy is telling his wife the story of this Santa in the car. How does he know any of this stuff? And how does he know that any of this stuff happened?
Oh, because, he's the Santa.
Wait for the end.
Yeah. Okay.
She's the Santa.
Yeah. Booyah.
I just like to cut back to him and he's like, and then looking down at her boobs, and
yeah, like, is he describing her vagina the whole time?
And now, so this bitch picture is... of vagina.
Now, keep picturing.
Now, think about it. Yeah. Think about it.
Anyway, she's crawling. And won't you know, it comes undone. So she's crawling
dead. So it really is like an 8-year-old telling a story.
Oh my God.
Then all of a sudden, like, the dad's getting interrogated by this police officer, and how does this fucking guy in the car know any of it?
Is this like, is he telling multiple stories?
All he's doing is going.
Is it like, let me tell you three stories, or is it all?
No. It's literally like, I'm going to tell you the story of a Santa. And then he killed that guy, and then that guy, and then he killed this guy, and then this lady got boobs. And
crawling.
Does this movie end with the two people in the car getting killed by the psycho Santa?
Yes, it does, okay. Dan. Yes, it does.
Thank God.
What else? Although every once in a while there would be a little joke. See, the first half is front-loaded, excuse the pun, with boobies and vaginas, and then the second half has some jokes.
Okay.
But neither the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
This brother and sister are walking through the woods, and the brother tells this joke about how he saw an ad that said, only you can prevent forest fires. And how he felt like that was a lot of pressure on him. And I was like, oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they go to a house, and then the Santa's there, and then the dad shows up for whatever reason, okay, and burns the house down and kills everyone.
Oh, okay.
But then the Santa's not dead because he goes and kills the two people in the car. Yeah. The end. One thing that was quite notable was that when he burns the whole house down, because obviously this movie was made on a budget of $8, so they couldn't burn a house down.
Yeah.
So they just show, you know, that thing where you show somebody, but you put fire up to the camera real close.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that. Nice. And then they put a bunch of fire in front of a window.
Yeah.
And then they did some... And then they did some miniature work.
Oh, sweet. I wanted...
Which was fucking awesome.
I so badly wanted to say it was just one of those flaming schoolhouse things you could buy, like for the fireworks.
It would have been to the same effect, because this miniature work was just a construction paper house.
Nice.
Wicked.
This movie, I do, like, if you've got the time,
yeah,
check it out.
I would like to say I'm on the IMDb user reviews, and there's a 10 out of 10 review that I suspect was written by the director. And I'll read it to you.
Oh,
and you
please.
Let me know. This movie is worth a watch or two or three. How can you not like a Santa Claus that kills people? Eric Spudick does a great job for an up-and-coming actor, director, and producer. This movie is a must for anyone who enjoys B-grade horror. We have plenty of gore and great-looking female bodies in this slash fest.
Well, he just switches to we.
Yeah. I mean, Eric...
Where we made this movie.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Spudick knows how to get this done right, as we have an awesome shower scene in the first 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the girls in this movie are excellent looking. Eric Spudick plays Josh, who gets chased in the woods when his car breaks down. I don't want to spoil the movie, but if you are into slasher films, check this out. Slasher reviewer gives this 5 thumbs up. Great independent horror.
Wow.
I love that. We've got...
Yeah, yeah. This movie was made by people I've never even met. We made it in 2003. There's one thing. They're like, and then... One of the... And then... the stoner kid, and then he killed this kid who was smoking pot, which is, by the way, the line.
Nice.
And then he killed a kid who was smoking pot, and then he just comes up to this kid and lazily cuts his throat, and then they do a thing where the kid's holding his throat like this, and it's spurting out kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the tube is just right here.
Nice.
It's right here, and they hold on this kid, because this is their big special effect. They hold on this kid again for a couple minutes. And this was my least favorite part of the movie is he's, you know, when we're recording and I would wear the cans and you guys would make gross mouth noises.
Yeah.
it was those mouth noises for minutes.
Oh, wow. Man.
It was great. And I was watching it with headphones in, and I was like, yeah, oh, there's so many mouth noises. Anyway, great movie.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Psycho Santa.
Yes.
Addict insane.
Santa's insane. Okay. So I gave you an album, Casey, by your favorite band of all time, Joan of Arc.
They're great.
This is their album.
Favorite band and documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is their album from 2018 called 1984. Notable for the fact that the relatively newer member of the group is singing everything on this album as opposed to the normal singer and songwriter guy. I can't remember her name, but she sings everything, and I think
her
she wrote...
Her name is Melina Ausatkiatis. Ausatkiatis.
Yeah, so usually it's the Tim Kinsella, and now this album's entirely built around her. Mm-hmm. And Casey, I wanted you to listen to it.
Yeah, I listened to it too.
Oh, nice.
I did.
You didn't have to do that.
I thought, it's more fun to have a couple people rip on a ridiculously horrible band.
Yeah. What I will say for this album is that it doesn't suck in the same way that their albums usually suck.
I kind of liked it.
I was wondering if this would happen because I started listening to it.
I was worried that this would happen. Because the thing you got to understand is that this lady actually has a pretty interesting voice.
She does.
No, I had listened to this previously just to see, but then I made sure to check a couple songs out to refresh my memory, and I was like, they're making some choices, and maybe they'll like these choices.
Yeah. I got to listen to it, and I just threw it on today. I'm like, fuck it, you know, I'm going to listen to it, and then I can rag on it with Casey, but... So I put it on while I was building this dresser here. So it was just like on while I was doing something. And I'm like, I liked all the weird kind of... And she has a cool voice. And I was like, do I like this?
She does have a cool voice.
Yeah. I didn't listen to the lyrics, but I know they weren't as dumb as the fucking nonsense on that fucking... There was nothing called This Must Be the Placenta.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I wish I'd... A shot of your face.
Yeah.
Every part of your face dropped 2 inches when I said that title.
Yeah.
It just bums me out. This shit
so
bums
bad.
Me
I
out.
I like that.
And the thing is, when I like listening to this album, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, all right, I have to know why they did this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there's any album you listen to and you go, why did they do this? Mm-hmm. Why did they do this? Because it's very conceptual in that it's like, I feel like she sang these songs to a traditional music track, backing track.
I wondered the same thing, and then they took the vocal
and put it over some fucking bullshit.
It is definitely, from what I heard of it, it seemed very less song-oriented and more just like she's doing her poetry to a rhythm, and then they've put like ambient weird stuff around it.
Yeah. And that's what it is. So she's interesting and everybody else is a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I don't, because I've hated everything I've ever heard by this band, but then they bring in a different singer-songwriter to do some stuff and what she's doing is interesting. And I want to write her a letter to be like, Run.
Go make a proper fucking album.
Yeah, you've got something.
Yeah.
Get away from these
guys.
Did
you write these songs and then let these idiots fuck them up? Because you could still make these songs into songs because there were melodies there. And I'm like, I don't love these melodies or anything. And I don't think you've got a lot of ideas, but you've got an interesting voice. And if the music itself was interesting enough, it would complement what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the end result would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of something that's mildly interesting and then some fucking monkeys in the background going, ooh, we're doing noises.
Well, listen, if you want to know some information behind this album, I have some quotes here for you.
Oh, so do I, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I got to the bottom of why it is what
it is. Yeah, so you saw when Tim Kinsella said, we were thinking it more as a late period Black Flag record where Melina would sing,
which is exactly what it is.
What?
Melina would sing a song, and then the next song would be a jam. he said, describing the structure and sequencing of the material.
Well, I don't feel like that's what I listen to at all.
Nope, because that's not what it is at all. And this guy's like
there was
a fucking
one jam
delusional
in the middle of the album.
In honor of the album's release, their record label produced a version of George Orwell's dystopian novel of the same name, 1984, substituting the names of Joan of Arc band members for all of the major characters.
I don't know if on an audio medium you can hear me making the jerk off motion.
God damn.
Yeah. I just like the idea that like this is their 23rd album.
That's
and Greg's
crazy.
Like, finally they've did a half step towards something.
Yeah. It only took you 23 albums to realize that, hey, someone else should write the songs.
Yeah. Hey, this band would be great if it wasn't this band.
Yep.
That's funny.
I really want her to get away from them and
I'm wondering if maybe before she was in the band she was doing other stuff and maybe has like a solo career or something.
She's like a visual artist.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know.
Well, all artists
has
are
been
visual.
Like yeah, that's true. From what I read, she's been playing with them just as a guitar player for the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, Casey'll love the thing. Did you guys read about like on stage she plays something called a fake guitar that isn't actually an instrument?
Oh, she's that girl from the documentary.
Yeah.
She's an idiot.
Like, is that what it is? Like a guitar that's like not a guitar and just she pretends to play it?
It's just the shape of a guitar. Yeah. It's like wood in the shape of a guitar and she's an idiot. She just stands behind it being an idiot.
Oh, man. I love that you go off on that kind of stuff. That's why I gave this to you.
Oh, it's fucking nonsense. Luckily, I'm about to bum you both out.
Oh, what are you giving us?
Well, check it out. Because, you know, one of my favorite genres of Punishment album is God, they made a new album?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite genres, and that's one of my favorite things to give you. And guess who made a new album, guys? Well, you're right, it's Blues Traveler.
Oh man. God.
There's a new Blues Traveler album.
Oh, my God.
Now, you may be asking yourself, why is there a new Blues Traveler album?
I sure was asking
why
that.
Why are there old Blues Traveler albums?
Yeah, why were there
that's
ever?
That's the real mystery. Well, check it out. This is a Blues Traveler album from 2018, and it's called Hurry Up and Hang Around.
Okay.
Now, this guy is a doctor of the harmonica, just so you guys fucking know. This album has songs like The Wolf is Bumpin'.
Dope.
God, this is going to suck.
She Becomes My Way.
Did I make you guys listen to a Blues Traveler's album at some point there?
I don't know.
I don't know, but did in high school, did you make me own a Blues Traveler album? No, I did.
Was someone giving you the runaround?
Oh, why you want to?
Why you want to?
Why you want to do that? Suck it in, you're in the din, and I'm bullin. Yeah, that's right. I'm a fucking huge sucker for fast singing.
I know.
That song
know.
Had some fast singing.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Blues Traveler is the band connected to Roseanne because in the 6th or 7th season or something, they did the vocal
theme song,
version of the
and
theme
they
song.
Showed, they did cameos on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah. I remember them seeing them
there
live,
was,
yeah.
Yeah. There was, I feel like there was an episode where their van broke down outside the Connors' house, so
I don't
they came
think
in and
anything
did a
ever made me more mad than the first time I watched an episode that had the vocals over the Roseanne song, and it was them, and they were singing like, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We're gonna last longer." And I was like, "No, no,
garbage."
It sounds like a paper towel commercial.
Yeah.
Also, this album has a song called "Daddy Went a Giggin'."
Sorry, what?
Did you guys expect me to say those words?
What, say it again?
Where's Daddy? Daddy went a giggin'.
Oh, my God.
Daddy went a giggin'?
Yeah.
Like going to gigs?
I guess. I feel like it's probably something that John Popper's shitty wife said to his shitty kid. Where's Daddy?
Daddy went a giggin'. Oh, my God.
We have fun. We're having fun.
Oh, I'm not.
Well, you're gonna.
Anyway, yep. Blues Traveler, great. We will listen to it, unfortunately.
a doctor of the harmonica.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was more of a lawyer of the harmonica.
Yeah.
The prosecuting attorney of
Boogie.
Your Honor.
I thought he had an MBA in harmonica.
Harmonica.
Time to roll the die.
Yeah.
This week, we are going to roll for Suspiria, upcoming horror movie. Big excitement around that.
Yeah.
And the Punishment movie is going to be a horror movie as well. That just I think it just came out on Blu-ray. It's called Slenderman. Because if you love your horror movies tackling real world things 10 to 15 years too late, Slenderman is your movie.
Yeah. You want a horror movie based on some, I don't know what, memes?
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Like, they already made a documentary about real world things that have happened around the Slenderman internet phenomenon. It inspired two young girls to do some crimes and commit some murders. Mm-hmm. And now that we have a movie that talks about what really happens when these kind of things go too far, or when what kind of a life internet culture can take online when left to run amok, we have just this bland-looking thing that's like, what if he was real? So
he is the creepiest of pastas.
Yeah. So, Slenderman, why not?
Why not?
Let's do the roll, then. I'm going to go and roll an 8. Greg is rolling
also an
8.
Oh, this doesn't look good for me.
Casey. That's a one.
That's a one.
Oh. You are the Slenderman.
You are the Slenderman.
I kind of wanted an excuse to watch this movie.
Wonderful. Slenderman next week as well.
Wonderful.
Next episode.
Wonderful.
Not next week, but yeah, as well as Suspiria. That is our episode. If you'd like to get into contact with us, you can do so at info@modernsuperior.com. You can go to Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC and follow us there. Rate and review us on iTunes. And you can also find us on Spotify right next to your Blues Traveler Records. Yeah. So listen to that album, watch some movies, and as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
Hello, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.